Amen. The book of Ruth, tonight, chapter number 1, starting at verse number 1. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you're going to help me preach tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Well, that was pretty good. I'm feeling better about it then. Ruth 1 and 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. I know you've heard greater preachers than myself try to tackle this text tonight, but I just want to drop that word in your memory bank, sojourn, because that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to preach about the spirit of a sojourner. And notice the intention. It said he went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Verse number 16, for the sake of time, I don't want to read the entire story, but this is what I'd like to end with tonight. And Ruth said, verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Amen. One more time. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven? Ask God to help us in this service tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for what's already been accomplished tonight. But I realize, Lord, that we are not done. Neither are you, Lord. God, I pray that you would deal with someone's heart, someone's life. Deal with a family tonight. Deal with a man, a husband, a father. God, give us an altar service again as we close this meeting tonight to where things are done of eternal value. We'll praise you for it. We'll praise you for it. Amen. Before you're seated, why don't you turn around, shake your neighbor's hand. Amen. Tell him you're going to help the preacher tonight. Amen. You're going to help the preacher. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the spirit of a sojourner. Amen. The Bible teaches us the book of Ruth was written during very, very dark days, difficult days, days of apostasy and anarchy. Matter of fact, the wording in the text that we read tonight says there was a famine in the land. I think you have to contextually understand that we're at the end of the book of Judges and we flow right into the book of Ruth. And the last verse of the book of Judges says this, "In those days there was no king in Israel." We understand the end of the verse says, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." But the beginning of the verse says, "There was no king in Israel." And so when there's apostasy and anarchy and everyone doing what they want to do and not following godly leadership, it leads us to the conclusion of the beginning of Ruth, and that is, there's a famine in the land. To understand the importance of this story tonight, we need to understand the famine, that there's a famine going on in the land, but also the reason why the famine was occurring. When you reject God and you reject the counsel of God, there will be a famine in your life. There's a famine in our nation spiritually. Amen. There certainly is, not of preaching the word, but how many would say there's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord? Amen. We probably have more preaching or at least access to preaching than we've ever had, but it seems as if people are not hearing, thus saith the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's because it's not being preached from the pulpits. There are those that are politicians and puppeteers in the pulpit, and they're not preaching the word of the Lord. But I would submit to you that even those that are preaching the word of the Lord find congregations that are uninterested to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. But I'm not interested in what man has to say. I'm not interested in ideas, philosophies, or opinions, because I realize when I stand before God, it will be the word of God that will be my test. It will be the word of God that will examine me. It will be the word of God that I will measure up to or fail to measure up to. And so God help all of us tonight to have a love and an obedience for the word of God. And I promise you tonight, friend, if you're rejecting the counsel of the man of God that's preaching the word of the Lord, there is but one conclusion in your life. There will be a famine. There will be a famine. I've watched folks dry up in the house of the Lord while a church was having revival. I've watched some folks get saved while others are backsliding. I've seen some folks shout, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody else would leave and say, it's been a dry, dry service. What is the difference? The difference is somebody heard the word of the Lord, obeyed the word of the Lord, and God honored the word of the Lord. Somebody else rejected the word of God, and God will withhold his blessings upon that person. I say tonight, God, I want to hear your word. I want to respect your word. I want to exalt your word. I want to obey the word of the Lord. I don't have time for a famine in this hour. I'm trying to get my family to heaven. I'm trying to take as many people as I can to heaven. And friend, I want to hear the word of the Lord. You know, our text tonight, as it opens up, there's this principle of a willing choice that God sets before us, the ability for all of us to choose, the principle of a willing choice. The scripture says that God sets before us life in death, and all of us have to choose. We all of us have to choose. And in our text tonight, Naomi and her husband is a man by the name of Elimelech, and Elimelech is going to make a choice that we're going to see the conclusion of that choice. But if you would, in your mind, see that family, see that father, see that mother, and see those two sons living in Bethlehem, Judah. Do you have them in your mind? Do you see that family? They're struggling because in the land there's a famine. In the land, the favor of God is withheld. The favor of God is not being poured out. There's a famine in the land. And so Elimelech has to make a choice, as all of us have to make a choice, whether or not we're going to find God's best for our life and seek God wholeheartedly, or whether we're going to try to devise our own plan and go our own direction. And so that story unfolds in the text. But one thing is clear, that all of us must choose whether or not we want life or death. But as we make our decisions, the consequences come whether we want them to come or not. That we're free to choose which way we go, but we're not free to choose the consequences, because the consequences will automatically follow our decision. And I think that is critically important to understand in this text tonight, that Elimelech gets to choose which way that he wants to go, but he does not get to choose the consequences. The consequences automatically follow the decision that you're going to make. God will not make the choice for us. God will not make the decision for us. We've got to choose to obey God's word or reject God's word. We've got to choose to have revival in our home, or we get to choose we don't want revival in our home. We get to submit to the man of God, or we rebel against the man of God. God lays before us life and death. But one thing, friend, is abundantly clear. Whatever decision that we choose, there will be consequences that follow. Either the favor of God being poured out and revival coming to our home, or the favor of God being withheld, and ultimately famine resulting in our life. And there's nothing you can do about it if you make the wrong choice. Know this tonight, that the consequences are going to come. The consequence will come. But that leads me to the second idea of this text, and that is that Elimelech shows us the problems of making a wrong choice. I really felt like last night and on in early this morning that the God of heaven dropped this text in my spirit, and I realize I may not be preaching to the multitude. I might be preaching just to a handful, but I'm all right with that tonight, because I feel like I've got to obey the Lord.
Lord. I really want to warn somebody that you're making decisions, that you're making decisions that will affect your life, your family's life, your children's life, and the legacy of your family. I really felt like God put everything on pause here for the next 15 minutes so you and I can have a discussion about the decisions you're making. And let me ask you, are you really making decisions that are godly and in line with the Word of God? Amen. Are you really where you're supposed to be so you can hear God? Or are you walking down a different path and away from the counsel of God? I would to God that He would stand by me for a little while and the Spirit of God mesmerize us. Amen. Because all of us are headed out of this building and we're headed to an eternity, and the decisions we make will determine whether we shout on streets of gold and we see the wonderful blessed Son of God, or whether we fall down into a Christless eternity, into the region of the damned, the doomed, and the dying, and where the devil and his angels are. I pray to God tonight every last one of us will leave this building, amen, with the assurance we're headed to heaven. But I want to introduce to you a few things about Elimelech. The Bible teaches us, really, I believe, that the reason of why he made some decisions that he made. Number one, he was forgetful. He was forgetful of his heritage. Notice with me this problem of a wrong choice. He's forgetful of his heritage. How do you know that, preacher? Well, notice a few things. Notice where he's living. The Bible teaches us that he's living in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Judah, the land of praise. He is one of God's people living in the house of bread and the land of praise. Not only that, notice with me his name tonight, Elimelech. We call him Elimelech, but really Elimelech. Eli meaning God is. Elijah, God is Jehovah. Elisha, God is salvation. Elimelech, Elimelech, God is my king. Here we have a man living in the house of bread, in the land of praise, and his name means my God is king. He's one of the covenant people of God. He is not a Moabite by nationality, but he is a man of God living in the land with the people of God. But yet he is getting ready to make a decision, because he is forgetting his heritage. He is forgetting everything that God has done for him. Before somebody makes unwise choices, before somebody backslides and goes the wrong direction, they forget from where God has brought them from. They forget they used to shout under the power of God. They forget their name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They forget the joy of the Lord. They forget the peace of God. They forget the darkness of sin, where God brought them out of. They forget all of that. But friend, I want to remind you tonight, amen, do you remember the hour when you got saved? Do you remember God reached down and pulled you out of sin? Do you remember God set you free? Maybe God broke those addictions. Amen, I remember I was lost. I was undone. I was on my way to hell. But thank God tonight I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. My name's in the book of life. And the greatest thing I ever did do was lay off the old man and pick up the new. I said, I'm still glad to be a child of God. I'm still glad to feel what I feel right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. This year will be 40 years since I got saved. I got saved as a little boy, but this year it'll be 40 years that I got saved when my dad was preaching. My grandmother Austin, who's 93 years old, plays the piano some of the time at Brother Benny's church, and old grandma gave me that nod to the altar, and I prayed through as a little 7-year-old boy. Amen. But I'm going to tell you now, it's been a few years, but the greatest thing about my life, the greatest joy that I have, the greatest peace that I have, is feeling what I feel right now in the house of God, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'd rather feel what I feel right now. I'd rather know I'm going to heaven. I'd rather feel the joy of God. I'd rather feel the peace of God than anything the world has to offer. No wonder the songwriter said, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I said, I'd rather have what I feel. Anybody glad you're saved? Anybody glad to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, somebody ought to shout glory. Somebody ought to shout thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to shout in the face of hell, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, something's wrong if you've got to be begged to come to church. Something's wrong if you got to be begged to praise God. Something's wrong, my friend, if you've got to constantly be reminded of why we should worship God. If we're washed in the blood, I believe we ought to praise Him as automatic as we breathe. I said His name is Jesus. I'm glad He's my Savior. Brother Robbie Harden, I'm glad He washed my sins away. I'm glad, Brother Beavers, my name is in the book of life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a child. I said I'm a child. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I've got royal blood. I went down a sinner, but I came up a saint. I went down a sinner, but I came up a child of God. Hallelujah. Hey, if you're a child of God on your worst day, this is as bad as it's ever going to be. And you're one trumpet sound away from shouting, shouting, shouting. Woo! I said shouting on the streets of glory. Give this up. Give this up. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. Trade what I got in Jesus. Sacrifice what I got in Jesus. Walk away from the Son of God. Walk away. Walk away from the only thing and the only good thing of my life. Never, friend. I say 1,000 times, never. Eli Melech. It's forgetful. Before you can ever be entertained by anything the devil or the world has to offer, you got to turn away from the things of God. You've got to forget where God brought you from. But I want some of you to walk down memory lane right now and remember. Do you remember the first time you got saved? Peter said, stir up your minds by the way of remembrance. Amen. Do you remember what it was like? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the joy of the Lord? Do you remember the burden that rolled away? Oh, hallelujah. When I got saved, the night I got saved, amen, in my mind was, Dad had a 69 Chevelle. We were driving home in a 69 Chevelle, and in my mind was a billboard flashing. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Saved. I'm saved. Hey, friend, it's still that way tonight. I said, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. Amen. Somebody ought to shout, thank you, Jesus. Woo! He was living in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, the land of praise. But he forgets all of that. And he gets fearful. He starts thinking, I'm going to lose it all if I stay here. But you listen to me. Naomi said when she starts coming back home, we went out full. She said, I went out full. Elimelech in his mind said, if I stay here, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose everything. When you get fearful, you start negotiating with the enemy. When you get fearful, you start compromising. You start trying to make a deal. Somehow. You start trying to construct a scenario or a narrative whereby you can have the best of both worlds. The Bible said that he went to sojourn. So the Bible said he went to sojourn. He went for a visit with the intention of coming back. That's the only surmise that we can make from the word. Sojourn, it doesn't mean to go set up residence. It doesn't mean to move there. He wasn't changing his address. He didn't give a forwarding address. He was going down there to ride out the famine. He was going to go down to Moab. But let me ask you the question logically. Why would God bless a man of God in Moab when there's a heathen land and a God-forsaken enemy of his people? If God's going to take care of you anywhere, it's going to be right here in the land of praise and in the house of bread. But I watch them. Sometimes you can tell when they start getting that spirit of a sojourner. All of a sudden they don't want to sing in the choir anymore. All of a sudden they start getting late to church. If they get to midweek or Sunday night at all, things that would have never stopped them when they first got saved, all of a sudden now keeps them out of the house of God. They used to come in on fire for God. Now they sit kind of cool in the house of God. And all of a sudden you can feel that critical spirit starting to get a hold of them. I don't know why everybody's excited. I don't know what everybody's so joyous about. I don't know what all the shouting and dancing's about. When you used to be the one shouting. When you used to be the first one dancing. But you lost the joy of the Lord. You lost the praise of God. And now your eyes are looking around. And all of a sudden you're saying, Moab, it don't look that bad. Maybe this is just the preacher. Maybe it's his convictions. Maybe it's not the word of God after all. And you start backing up on things you used to shout over. Start moving stuff into your house. And changing convictions. Friend, it's the same story. Amen. State after state. Amen. Moab is reaching for you. Moab is reaching. And all of a sudden, Elimelech gets his wife and his two sons. And I've watched this scenario over and over again, observing, watching families, even pastoring now. Watching families start making decisions. Backing up. Cooling off. And you can see they're getting ready to make a move. You can't talk them out of it. They've got their mind made up. They're going. They found another way. They have... Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Brother Austin, I've heard this. We want to keep our children. We got to give them something to do. So they give them something of the world to keep them busy. Fellas sit across from my desk and with tears coming down my face. It's a bad choice. It's a wrong decision. It's a wrong choice. He said, I got to give him something to do. I got to keep him busy. Well, they were already so busy they couldn't be faithful to church. So I don't know why they needed to add something else to their life. But it was nothing more than a pigskin, a football. You say, that would never get anybody out of the house of God. well practices and games. Amen. I can give you the end of the story. They're not even in church tonight. Amen. You say it's just a foot. No, friend. It was something more. Amen. It was something alluring them. They started making choices. We'd rather do that than go to church. We'd rather have that than the power of God. We'd rather have that than revival. Got critical and complacent. Got critical and lukewarm. It started backing up. Amen. You can preach. You can cry. But when they got their mind made up, they are headed out. I said they're headed out. And the problem is, when Elimelech made that choice, it's going to cost him his life. It's going to cost him his two sons. It's going to cost Naomi's health as well. All of us tonight could tell that story of something that got a hold of somebody. Well, I got hurt. Somebody lied on me. You've been hurt? I've been lied on, haven't you? What's that got to do with Jesus? What's that got to do with Jesus? He's never done me anything but good. Give up and backslide because I got hurt? Because I got lied on? No, sir. No, sir. Makes me want to dig a little deeper. Makes me want to get a little closer. Makes me want to love him a little bit more. You! Glory, glory, glory. Ah, somebody tonight, I really felt in prayer. You're making choices. You are making choices. You are making choices. You might be a young person in this building, like that girl in a, not my church, but she didn't want to marry somebody too spiritual. Her words were this: I don't want to marry somebody that might be a preacher someday. She wanted to marry somebody with one foot kind of in the world and one foot in the church. She didn't want to marry somebody on fire. She didn't like somebody else. She wasn't going to be attracted to somebody up front shouting on fire for God. She wanted somebody just kind of easy going. And now she's trying to raise two little kids by themselves because Mr. Easy Going is gone. You might be a young person tonight starting to think you're about doing things and thinking about, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Or the man of God, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand what we're facing in this generation. You hear me? The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Amen. The devil's just trying to get you down to Moab. The devil's trying to take you down. But the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life. You might have life. You might have life. And have it more abundantly. Oh, somebody making a choice tonight. I'd be a fool to think I could see just it on your face, but in your heart below what I can see with the natural eye, who would know what thoughts are being contemplated this night? I would have never, I've watched some folks get ready to backslide and knew it was coming and couldn't stop it. But there's other times. What about that girl in my church probably 15 years ago that cleaned the church on a Wednesday night before service? We had church service, and by the time church service was over, she had left her cell phone, her keys, and a note for her husband and left him. And cleaned the church right before service. But she had it plotted out. She had it all laid out. Something had already grabbed her heart. Moab already had a hold of her. Moab was down in her spirit. Amen. I don't care if you're sitting on the front row. I don't care if you're in the back. I don't care if you're standing tonight. If there's a thought in your heart that Moab might get a hold of you, I'd run to this altar. I'd seek God. And I'd say, God, God save me. God sanctify me. Amen. God, tonight, I'd love to see a family. Oh, I'd love to see a family. Maybe that the devil might be fighting and you might be making some bad choices. You might have already made some bad choices. I feel to tell this story. I've got permission to tell this story whenever I feel like it. I'm going to be done. Just a moment. Years ago, young boy was working for me in our school. His wife left him. He did not backslide on God. He was faithful to God. Faithful to God. Faithful to God. She backslid and went to the depths of sin. The marriage, they separated. It didn't look like all that young boy ever wanted was to have a godly marriage. Because he grew up and his family had split up while they were in church. And so he served God as a teenager and all he wanted was to have a godly marriage. And it looked like the devil had taken that from him. The first Christmas rolled around. His wife had left him. We were still in contact with her mother. He sent Christmas gifts to that wife that had left him. She did not want anything to do with him. She threw the gifts out in the front yard. Said, I don't ever want to see him again. The next Christmas rolled around. Year and a half, almost 2 years they had been split up. She was expecting a child from a relationship she had been involved in. He come to me and he said, I felt in prayer, God told me, I ought to buy gifts for that baby. Now, I'm not saying I could do that. If my wife left me and was having a baby of an illicit relationship, but sitting in my office with tears coming down his face, he said, God told me I need to buy gifts for that baby. He went to Toys R Us. He bought a car seat. He bought stroller. He bought baby carrier. He bought all kinds of stuff. Her mother took it to her Christmas Eve, I believe it was, and presented all of those gifts to her. Something broke inside of her when she saw those gifts, because that illicit relationship had already ended sour. But here was a man she had walked out on 2 years or a year and a half ago, but was buying gifts for a baby that was not his. Amen. She broke down and started crying. It was as if that moment, amen, the logic started flooding back to her, what she realized she had given up. Amen. The one man that had really loved her, she had walked out on. It wasn't a few weeks later. Amen. She came by our house with her grandmother. She got down at our couch. Amen. She was dressed so immodestly. I got on the backside of the couch while my wife and her grandmother prayed through with her on the front side of the couch. A few weeks later, she came to church. God put that marriage back together. If you walk in my church tonight, you would not be able to pick out that family, and you would not be able to pick out that girl. Amen. The devil took her down to Moab, and it looked like it was over, and it looked like that was the end of the story. But God reached down. I said, God reached down and brought her out of sin. God brought her back home. You might have made a bad choice. God's gonna make it better if you'll let him. If you'll let him, because I want you to think about tonight, Ruth, the Moabitess. Think about how this story ends. Ruth, the Moabitess from Moab. If Ruth looks in her past, Moab, nothing but degradation, nothing but shame and embarrassment. If Ruth looks back, but Ruth sets her feet to Bethlehem, Judah. and leaves all that junk in the past and starts walking toward God. And before long, is introduced to Boaz. And as the scripture unfolds, she winds up in the lineage of the Son of God. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought? A girl that come out of Moab, a girl with all of that, winds up in the lineage of Jesus Christ. God will do it. I said God will do it. I said God will do it. Oh, but that's a wise choice. But right now I want to give an altar call. Somebody can come, get ready, play some music, sing, however you want to do it. But I want to work this altar right now. I know we've shouted. I know we've danced. I know some have already probably prayed through, been sanctified. I don't know what God has already done. But I'm going to tell you, I had a burden to get up and preach this little message tonight. God, I really feel like God could restore somebody right now. If you just get up out of the ashes of failure, if you just get up and say, I made a bad choice, but that's not the final choice. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Anybody want to see somebody come to this altar? Make some wrongs right? Why don't you lift your hands and love God tonight? Ask God to give us an altar service. Come on, church, let's worship. Come on. Come on, let's magnify God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, church, would you keep worshiping the Lord? Would you keep worshiping the Lord right now? While the church is worshiping the Lord. God spoke to your heart. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. You're here in this service. While the church is worshiping the Lord, this altar's open. Come on, this altar's open. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. Come on, young person. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, worship for a while, church. They're starting to come. I said they're starting to come. Ah, don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil lie. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Right now, move. Glory. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord. It's going to be me and you for a couple moments. Come on, come on, come on. You've cooled off. Come on, you're contemplating. Come on, you're negotiating with the devil. You're negotiating your exit strategy. You forgot. You forgot where God brought you from. I said you forgot what God has done in your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. Come on. Oh, Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord.
Lord, I'm coming.
Right now. Right now. Right now.
Coming home.
Come on, young person. Come on, young lady. Come on. This is your night. Come on, this is your night. You don't have the joy like you used to. You don't have the peace of God like you used to. Come on, I can see it on your face. I can see the weight and the condemnation. Why don't you break the ice right now? Come on, why don't you make this your service? Why don't you make this your turnaround party? Oh, why don't you upset the devil's plans to say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back.
I wonder.
You pray in church? Come on, I need to pray in church. I'd like to break that spirit, wouldn't you? Whatever's got someone bound.
Lord, I'm coming.
Right now. Right now, come on. What about it, sir? Is there a dad in this building? Is there a father in this building that gets your family? That gets your entire family? Say, come on. Come on, we're going to the altar. Come on, we're going to see revival. Come on. Is there a man? Is there a dad that'd be willing to get your family right now? I'm waiting.
Open wide thine arms of love.
Right now.